Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
We have Bulls basketball tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. They'll look to put Wednesday's season-opening disappointment behind them as they head to Memphis to take on Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. Bulls pregame live tips off our coverage at the bottom of the hour, and then Neil and Stacy will have the hometown call at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Chicago and the My Teams app. So Sunday could be redemption day for the Bears and Mitch Trubisky. Will Mitch play better against the Chargers? Will Matt Nagy run the ball more than 7 times? And what will this town be like on Monday if they were to lose again? We won't go there. Because this is a happy Friday, everyone. Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by Chevy Silverado. I'm Kelly Kroll, along with this fine panel, taking you up to your weekend. Gentlemen, thanks for being here. Sam Panionovich, I said I would call you radio extraordinaire. Mark Carmen, also radio extraordinaire. Is that cool? We can go with that.
Wherever you want to go with it, Kelly. I'm just happy. Good to be here.
To be with you again. You too. And then we got Phil Rogers in this weekend, and you're
leader.
You can just go with Renaissance Man for me. just go with Renaissance
Man.
That's
phenomenal
fine.
Columnist for... I could go on and on and on. MLB.com, Tribune, and here we go. So on.
New York
so
Times best-selling author. That's my okay. Favorite one at the moment.
You got to fill out the index card, Phil. You got to fill it out. Make it easy.
Wow.
Okay, that's next time. Let me get this show on the way, shall we, gentlemen? Big game for the Bears on Sunday as they try to turn their season around, and it's a big game for Mitch Trubisky as well. But what happens if he struggles again? Matt Nagy was asked today if he'd consider benching Trubisky during the game if his young QB had another awful performance.
We have too many things going on right now within our offense and with us in general that to sit there and point blame at just one particular person right now is not fair. So what we need to do as a team is we need to win, and we do that as a team. And so that's the simple solution.
Okay, guys, so there's that answer, but how about in general, do you feel like Mitch Trubisky will have a better weekend?
Wouldn't it be nice if Matt said, you know what, in the NFL nowadays, as it has been, by the way, for almost a decade now, the quarterback is by far the most important position, and we need Mitch to play better and perhaps even cover up some of the mistakes that we are having elsewhere, including our offensive line and in the backfield. And if Mitch doesn't play well, all cards, all chips are on the table right now, Sam Panionovich, gambling man. And if he doesn't play well, we might have to go to the bench. We're hoping that won't be the case, but Mitch has got to play better, and we need him to, and we absolutely have to win on Sunday. That wouldn't be terrible, would it?
Those throws, we're just watching these throws here. These throws absolutely suck. I mean, like, he's not even close. Look at this throw.
Should have been picked. How many?
Look at this throw. Nobody. But you're right. You're right. In any sport, your head coach has to drive home the fact that there has to be accountability, especially at the quarterback position, right? Your shortstop in baseball, your shooting guard in basketball, your centerman or your goalie in hockey, your quarterback in football. If there's no accountability, what do you have?
But I agree with the bigger point. There is a lot of blame to go around. And, you know, whether it's running the ball, play calling, pressure on Trubisky. The offensive line is not having a great little stretch here, too, which I think it impacts everything else they're doing on offense. All that said, I'm Mr. Rosefield glasses, rose-colored glasses. I think Trubisky's going to have a good game. I think David Montgomery's going to run for more than 100 yards, and the whole narrative is going to switch. And I think that because San Diego or L.A. is not very good. I mean, they're beat up to boot. So, I think this is a decent stage for the Bears to kind of turn the narrative.
All fair points. Now or never. If you're not going to do it against the Chargers this week, then you can say goodbye.
But
right?
If you stink, you still have your job.
Well, so it's interesting you bring up accountability, because I think from the perspective of answering questions and standing in front of people, and he has been accountable, but he hasn't shown anyone necessarily that he's taking steps forward week in and week out. And I want to get, just real quick, Phil, let me get to our Incan poll, Sports Talk Live poll question, however I get that out there. How confident are you that the Bears will win on Sunday? Chime in, 100% certain, 50-50, no shot they win. Those are your three options. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote and then listen to what Phil has to say, because you are how confident that they will win this weekend?
I am 100%. Let's say very. And I found out something that surprised me just the other day. They're 3-3. Like, I would have thought they're 1-5, 0-6.
That's fair. That is fair.
I watched the Thursday night game, and I'm thinking, man, the Vikings are so much better than the Bears. The Bears have no shot. And then you look at the standings, and you look a little ahead of the schedule, and you look at it's the NFL, which is very unpredictable. And, you know, it really takes until November, really, until you know who the good teams are and what's happening. So, you know, I do think it's too early to get so negative. But as far as accountability goes, I think that would have been a nice draft question. I've always thought to draft one young quarterback and then say, this is our guy, just doesn't make any sense, because to Mark's point, it's a quarterback's league. And, you know, why the Bears don't have their version of a Mason Rudolph, somebody else, another good young guy. There, you know, every Saturday there seem to be pretty good college quarterbacks out there. And you know, Chase Daniel, yes, he's the best backup. But if they stink, you don't want them to stink with an older backup guy. You want them to try to grow with somebody that, you know, if Trubisky isn't the guy, you're just going to have to go back to, you know.
So you want him to go to Chase Daniel?
No, I never said that.
You said accountability.
I think to Phil's point, they don't want to bring in another young quarterback, because they would never want to break the glass Mitch Trubisky, right? Because they're so worried about coddling him and making him comfortable. But at the end of the day, Kelly, this was a 12-4 win, or 12-4 team last year, right? And now we're on the line for 8-8. Aaron Rodgers looks like he's elite still. And the Minnesota Vikings defense just held the Redskins to 9 points last night. The Lions are getting better. So this division might be the best in the league. You have to be better at quarterback, plain and simple.
The coddling thing has always just been bizarre.
And they are coddling him.
They have this year, last year. They've been just protecting him. The way they call plays, the way they talk about him, it's like he's just going to break. Well, okay, then at this point, it's like, well, then let him break. I don't think that Matt Nagy speaking the truth is going to break Mitchell Trubisky. You don't get to that point in life as a quarterback of an NFL team, if your coach says something honest, that the quarterback's going to fall apart. But for whatever reason, the Bears have handled it this way. I just think it's bizarre. And by the way, to your point, I'm looking at my watch here, Phil. I'm getting married November 30th. That's 36 days away. We are at November here, my friend. I mean, the Bears got to win
this
week.
Chop, chop.
My invitation must have gotten lost, or else it's still in the mail.
Well, we're still working on our C-listers.
Got it.
I mean, you're...
Whoa! we are never inviting you back to this show.
C-lister. I love my C-listers as much as I love the A-listers, but, you know, we got to have more. You know, I don't know you as long, Kelly.
Golly, the weekend can't get here soon enough. Just kidding. Okay, meanwhile, to get people to Sunday and hold you over for that Bears game, the Bulls are back in action tonight against the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yay.
We'll begin our coverage here on NBC Sports Chicago with Bulls Free Game Live coming your way at 6:30. Neil and Stacey, as I mentioned, have the call at the top of the hour. The Bulls allowed an opening night franchise high 126 points to the Hornets in Charlotte Wednesday night. Memphis, a rebuilding team, but a couple of young potential stars. How do they shore things up against this squad tonight and at least take one of these games before coming home?
Well, you've got to punch that clock at the facility maybe a little bit harder to shore up the defense. That was a franchise record, by the way, for the Hornets in three-pointers, 23 triples. Now, Memphis doesn't shoot it as well as the Hornets do, but I'm really excited, Carm, for this John Morant. I think he is an exceptional player. I know we talk about Zion all the time, but John Morant was a guy in college who did everything for Murray State, and that's going to be a guy who in 5 years from now could be an all-pro player. I think they'll beat the Memphis Grizzlies tonight, but I'm just excited first and foremost to see this young stud play.
On some video somewhere, I said that Zion was not going to win the Rookie of the Year because I was predicting, and I'm not happy about this, by the way, at all. Like, there's one thing I wanted to see was Zion plays 82 games, but I was worried about the health with that body, playing NBA basketball, putting that much impact on it. So Ja Morant has got a great chance. So does RJ Barrett, by the way, in New York. He's going to have the ball in his hands a ton. But Yeah, we were hoping for that consolation prize in Chicago. Were we not getting John Morant here? Somehow that didn't quite work out. Although Kobe White's doing great, by the way.
That'll be a fun – I mean, at some point, Kobe White will be covering him tonight, and that'll be fun to watch. Other also on tape now is you calling me a C-lister. But anyway, go ahead, Phil.
Erase that.
Kobe White, I think, just suddenly made Lauri Markkanen viable again. You know, without a fast pace, Lauri Markkanen is like Mr. Softy. He doesn't want to go down in the paint and battle, but all of a sudden, you know, you play an up-tempo game, and that seems to suit him. So,
yeah, he looked really good the other night.
At North Carolina, I've never seen a guy get down the floor, a point guard, as quick as he did. And, you know, I think he could be more than we've kind of said, a little bit of a game changer.
I thought he also brought out the best in Chris Dunn. So all of a sudden, Chris Dunn out there wants to push the pace with him beside him and play some defense. And we saw a better KD the other night.
And that fits Zach LaVine, too, right? I mean, he likes to run.
His attitude, Chris Dunn, I don't know if it's Kobe White or if it's a contract year or whatever it is. Regardless, just give him credit. He hasn't pouted going to the bench. He was on the court playing incredibly hard the other night. So I've been impressed with Chris Dunn.
And you brought up the matchup, Kobe White and Ja Morant, but also Jaren Jackson Jr. and Wendell Carter Jr. could be pretty interesting in this game as well.
Bulls will be fun to watch this year. I mean, how many years do we cover that team when they're scoring 85, 90 points and the first to 100? This team's going to score a lot. Conversely, though, much like their counterpart at the UC, the Blackhawks, they're going to get roasted a lot on defense. So these games will be exciting, but unless you get back, it's fun to run and gun, but if you don't get back,
transition,
you're going to get cooked.
So bad last year, and it reared its ugly head in this first game, and stopping the ball in the lane as well. But let's get to break because the new boss is in town, gentlemen. David Ross will be introduced as the Cubs' new skipper on Monday. So how much of a difference will we see in the Wrigley Field dugout? Meanwhile, how long will he manage Chris Bryant? If an arbitrator rules against the Cubs in KB's service time dispute, could the team deal him sooner? I can't wait to get Phil's thoughts on that when we come back.
Your Bulls, your way, anywhere, anytime. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Stream games and get the best Bulls coverage in Chicago at your fingertips. Download the My Teams app today.
The David Ross era of Chicago baseball is upon us. He will be introduced Monday at 11 a.m. at a press conference as the Cubs' 55th manager. Guys, we watched him with the Cubs in 2016, help lead them to a World Series, but he is going from teammate to now boss. Your thoughts?
I just want to regurgitate one of the tweets I saw. Did you see what Jason Hammel had to say?
I thought it was amazing.
He said,
amazing.
Hey, who's going to manage the team when Rossi's busy babysitting John Lester every fifth day? I thought that was outstanding. Look, the more time that goes from this hire, I'm actually okay with it. I still think it's a production league. And I don't know that the manager is as important as it once was. The players need to play better. The pitchers need to throw more strikes. The bullpen needs to be better. So if it was Girardi or David Ross, I don't really think it matters.
I've gone on record a lot. This was David Ross's job to lose. And no one came in and knocked their socks off to the point that they were willing to go away from the guy that they think can do exactly what Sam was just saying. I mean, I think there's a stat out there. 2.5 wins is the difference the voice makes there at the helm. It's going to come down to what this roster looks like and what they can do. It doesn't matter who they had put in that position, but I do think a manager can change a culture or help galvanize a group. And the voice of Joe Maddon wasn't necessarily being heard anymore, but the voice of David Ross's has always resonated, at least as a player. Now he's just got to do it in a different role.
To me, it's change for change's sake. I don't think Joe Maddon did anything, you know, that led to their lack of reaching the playoffs this year.
Nope, it wasn't about him.
You know, I think in a lot of ways, people are really going to miss Joe when he's gone.
That presser yesterday in L.A. was great.
That said, I totally agree with you that this was David Ross's job. I thought they might name him a day or two after the season was over. He was in town at the end of the year. I thought maybe he would just, you know, stay and do it. And, you know, I think you do a search. You gain some intel on some other teams. But there was no way anybody else was going to come in and get the job. And it certainly wasn't going to be a big-name, experienced guy like Girardi. My thought all along was it was David Ross or somebody you've barely heard of. And that kind of was true if Joe Espada was, you know, the runner up.
So what do you say to the people? I think one of the biggest concerns out there by fans, at least by reading my Twitter every day, is that how do you hire a guy who's never coached before? Neither did the guy up north, right?
I don't think the lack of managerial experience is that big, but coach is a big word. Like, their coaching staff has been a mess. I mean, they've made so many changes in their coaching staff. You look at Tony La Russa's teams in St. Louis and Oakland. They had steady staffs. You know, you look at, in New York, Joe Torre's teams. They had pretty steady coaching staffs. Mm-hmm. And the turnover of coaches and they got to hire an experienced bench coach, I would think. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody like Mike Borzello, who's been around there a long time, gets a bigger role than he's had. But there are a lot of – just the constant turnover. I don't really know who he can look to now to be the experienced veteran coaches that make it easier for him to manage.
So I'm of the belief that the manager matters. And if you go back in Cubs time, let's go back to the 07-08 Cubs managed by Lou Piniella.
You're going back to 07-08.
Why not?
You're going back over a decade ago as to what the manager position was.
Well, just to underline the point, though, they got in the playoffs in 08. They were a 97-win team. Everyone thought they were going to win the World Series. They played as tight as possible. Every guy in the infield made an error, and they got swept by the Dodgers. The Cubs were down 2-1 to the Los Angeles Dodgers, down 3-1 in the World Series, and somehow came back to win the thing, guided by a dude who was Mr. Positive in the dugout. So don't tell – you just can't tell me that doesn't matter. He set a tone there. And
– that was a special group. I really believe the role is a collaborative role now, and it's exactly what Theo and Jed want.
But there's still human beings in there. You still have – there's got to be some level of connection.
Which changes the culture.
Right. And so, but, okay, he – To spotlight Joe Maddon and you look at the amount of mistakes that the front office has made the last couple of years in adding on to this team when they had all the payroll in the world and you had a tremendous culture and to look and say Joe Maddon's the problem after a guy who's taking you to the playoffs every to me is ridiculous. All that being said, I think David Ross will do fine. I think it's a fine hire. I probably would have hired Girardi, but I think David Ross will be great. But I just don't get the – we're moving on from Joe Maddon, in my mind, to your point, does not make you better.
Okay, I want to get to this really quickly. Ross is hiring, of course, not only the big news – the only big news, if you will, concerning the Cubs. So Chris Bryant's grievance case regarding his service time from back in 2015 was expected to be heard this week or next. If the arbitrator sides in favor of Bryant, he would become a free agent, guys, after this next season rather than 2 years from now, which is currently the case. This could drastically, if you think about it, change the landscape of the Cubs franchise. What happens if Bryant and company win this? What is the right move for the Cubs?
Well, I'm going to give you a counterintelligent answer.
Oh, I can't wait.
Intuitive answer. and possibly intelligent.
Hopefully intelligent.
I think I'm with you, Phil. I want you to say. Go ahead.
But I think if he is a free agent after one more year, I think he's less likely to be traded because his value goes way down what you could get in a trade. I think they're negotiating with Javier Baez and Chris Bryant long-term deals, and I think the first guy to take the contract stays and the next guy gets traded. That's what I think. And I would not, if it's a Sophie's choice, I'm more of a Bryant guy than a Baez guy, and the service time doesn't really matter, except that you can get more for a guy you're trading with 2 years left than you can for a guy that's a one-year rental.
I ditto everything you just said. I think it's less likely he gets traded if there's 1 year. I'm more of a Bryant guy. I think he's just more solid. Not that Javi can't play all over the diamond, but you're talking about left, right, third, first. It's huge value. Middle of the order hitter. I also think that Javi, as he gets older, him being able to play like himself is going to diminish, whereas I think Bryant will have longer staying power just because of their body type.
Let's not forget, though, Scott Boras is the elephant in the room, and he doesn't play ball. He's going to the highest bidder. He always has. And if it comes down to Baez and Bryant, it'll be Javi Baez. It'll sign. He'll be cheaper. He's more cost-effective. I think that'd be the guy, Phil, no?
Well, did you watch World Series Game 2? Steven Strasburg, who took an extension to stay, he's the prototypical Boris guy, but he was happy in Washington, wanted to stay in Washington, and he took an extension a year before free agency is the only reason he's still in Washington. So I just think that means you can't, you really don't know just because of the agent, or I agree with you that Baez's agents would probably be easier to work with than Scott Boras, but you know, Boris guys have signed extensions before.
I'm curious if you agree with this. Chris's personality is more one to listen to his agent rather than blaze his own trail.
He'll tell me and he'll tell us that Scott Boras works for him, and he'll get to say that. But how many players who've had Boras have told me that, and I watched them do the same thing in negotiations year in and year out. Nick Castellanos wanted to tell me that too, but I don't know. Speaking of which, sorry, because we do have to get to break, but real quick, speaking of the World Series, Game 3 tonight, who you got, Nats, Astros?
I have it ending in Washington, not going back to Houston.
Wow.
You know, they're just too hot since early
Phil.
August. They've been beating everybody.
What about you, Mark?
I got the Astros coming back.
Okay.
I've got Castellanos of the White Sox.
That's my favorite. Okay, don't forget, we have the Bulls and Grizzlies tonight at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Chicago. You can stream it on the My Teams app. We're back with Sam's best bets for a big weekend, which we just got one of them, but it's going to be football when we come back on SEL.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
We are back on Sports Talk Live. Sam, what are your best bets for the weekend?
Get right to it. Short and sweet. Carm, can you read that record off, though, on the screen? Do you mind reading that off?
I don't.
12-6 this season?
Wow, okay. Sam.
If these lose, though, you got them from Carmen, just for the record. I like Wisconsin against Ohio State. Finally,
some team
is going to punch
Badgers?
Ohio State in the mouth, and it's going to be Wisconsin and Jonathan Taylor. They don't have to win, Kelly. They got to cover the number 14.5.
Wow.
Everybody's selling Michigan.
Fair.
I'm buying Michigan. You sell, I buy. I'll take +1. And for the first time this year, I'm betting the Chicago Bears. I'm laying 3.5 against the Chargers. They suck. They're bad on offense. They're bad on defense. They're 27th in the league in defense. It'll be nice medicine for Uncle Mitch.
So, a happy Monday. You guys agree for the Bears?
I'm at the coin flip. I think this could go sideways, and yes, to Sam's prediction, they could win as well. I got no real feel.
Boy, Mitch needs a good game. You know who else? Matt Nagy needs a good game this weekend,
but
right, Phil?
I got Bears by 50.
Phil.
Come I like
on.
That.
What could go wrong?
I like that.
You know what else I'm looking forward to? Coming back on Monday and possibly making the B list. Because I know Hatch already got his
invitation.
You got
to work hard. You got to have a good weekend.
We bonded today. It was a big day.
We did. We bonded over
I mean, it's wrong of me. I mean, I've seen you on the tennis court. You're great. Your hoop game was super strong.
You're going to swim it out of this hole.
Here we go.
She was, I mean, first of all, keeping people out of the lane, unlike the Bulls, and taking it to the hole herself.
I do know what it means to stop ball. I will say that. If you grew up in Indiana, you know how to play some defense.
That's what I'm talking about.
Guys, this has been a lot of fun. We'll try to do this again next week.
Come back Friday.
Thank you so much for watching Sports Talk Live, presented by Chevy Silverado. Bulls pregame live is coming up next, and then it's Bulls and Grizzlies at 7 p.m.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.